Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. We'll begin today with the 10th Congressional District Candidate Fest. What does that mean? Well, as many of you know, especially if you live in the district, a kind of crazy Democratic congressional primary is underway in the newly drawn 10th Congressional District, covering all of Manhattan below 18th Street and much of Northwest Brooklyn, the neighborhoods generally known as Brownstone Brooklyn, you know who you are, and down through Borough Park and Sunset Park. A mind-boggling 13 candidates made the ballot in the district, with the early headline being that former Mayor Bill de Blasio dropped out after concluding that he couldn't win. But that still leaves 12 candidates actively running, many of them pretty well known themselves. So as this program's contribution to helping you sort out these dozen competitors, if you live in the district, and because we think it'll be interesting for all you other listeners, we now present 10th Congressional District Candidate Fest. 11 candidates in a row, 5 minutes each, to make their elevator pitches and take a couple of questions from me. We invited all 12 candidates. They all accepted except community activist Jimmy Lee. I'll introduce each candidate the way they are described briefly in the excellent Voter's Guide to the Race by our Elizabeth Kim on Gothamist. We held a random drawing for the order, and we will go in the order that came up. And the first candidate in the drawing was Dan Goldman, best known for being an MSNBC analyst after having served as the lead counsel for the House Democrats during the 2019 impeachment hearings against then-President Donald Trump. Prior to that, he worked as an assistant attorney in New York, assistant U.S. attorney, tackling criminal and mob cases under U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara. Mr. Goldman, thanks for coming on WNYC today. Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be here with you.
Each candidate gets the same first question. In about 30 seconds, what do you think the people of Lower Manhattan and Northwest Brooklyn want from their member of Congress? This job is not mayor of New York, as you know, or local city council member. What do you see these New Yorkers as needing from Congress that you can best provide?
Well, it's a great question. It is the question, because we need somebody in Washington who can defend and protect our democracy, our fundamental rights, our national security, and who can also use some different and new strategies, some creative strategies that I used on the impeachment investigation in order to take on the bad faith Republicans and deliver results for this city. And as the New York Times endorsement of me this past weekend laid out, I am uniquely qualified because I've been on the front lines defending and protecting our democracy. I've been a staff member on the House Intelligence Committee and understand our national security issues. And I have the creativity in investigations and oversight to tackle the most pressing issues of the district and of our country.
And in a field of candidates who largely agree with each other on everything, do you want to separate yourself from the field? If you are separating themselves from you, do you want to separate yourself from the field based on any position you hold on an issue, or is your pitch solely that you would be the most effective?
Well, look, I agree with you that we all generally believe in health care for all. We all believe that we need to save our planet by increasing climate change. We all believe that we need to expand access to abortion after the Supreme Court's horrific ruling reversing Roe versus Wade. So I think the question for the voters is who's going to be most effective at getting results. And I have unique experience that my opponents don't have from being in the trenches, taking on Donald Trump and this obstructionist Republican Party, and being effective because we proved our case.
One issue difference that I thought I noticed in the WNYC New York One debate last week was that you seem to be the most skeptical of New York's bail reform law. Would you describe yourself that way compared to your competitors?
I think that we need broad criminal justice reform that reduces incarceration. I have a perspective from being a prosecutor, but also having been a contributor to Michelle Alexander's seminal book, The New Jim Crow, on the inequalities in the criminal justice system. I think we do need to make sure that we don't have a vicious cycle of recidivism, and that if the new bail reform amendments can be executed properly, I think we get there. But whatever the recourse is, we cannot have people committing the same crime 7, 10, 12 times and just cycling through the central booking and then get back out and do it again. So one way or another, we have to resolve that issue.
And last thing, your money is an issue in this race. Your opponents say it's not that you're rich and heir to the Levi Strauss fortune in and of itself. It's that you are using your wealth to overwhelm the spending of the others in the race, donating $2 million to your own campaign, for example, I read. What do you say to the charge of trying to buy this nomination?
Well, as you know, we raised 2.5 times more money than any other candidate in the month of June. And after that, recognizing that we do have a groundswell of support, and every candidate brings something different into this race. I have a candidate from Rockland County, an opponent who's bringing $3 million down from a different district and a different campaign. I decided that I wanted to speak more to the voters, not the donors, in a very short race and as a first-time candidate. So that's what I've been focused on doing.
Dan Goldman, thank you very much for joining us today. It's our 10th Congressional District Democratic Primary Candidate Fest. 11 candidates, 5 minutes each, in a randomly drawn order in this Lower Manhattan and Northwest Brooklyn race. Up next, Quanda Francis, an accountant and entrepreneur. Last year, she ran for mayor in the general election under the Empowerment Party of New York. She said she became interested in politics around 2018 when she was working in the NYPD as an analyst and researcher, according to the profile of her on Gothamist. Quanda Francis, thanks for coming on WNYC today. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Each candidate gets the same first question in about 30 seconds. What do you think the people of Lower Manhattan and Northwest Brooklyn want from their member of Congress? This is not a mayor of New York election or local city council election. What do you see these New Yorkers as needing from Congress that you can best provide?
I think they understand the urgency of this moment. As someone that has overcome tremendous adversity, when we talk about the criminal justice system, when we talk about the fact we have the same recreational desert, educational desert, we need someone that understands as a directly impacted person, right, how we address these issues, these systemic issues that are creating this revolving door in the criminal justice system, this revolving door of liabilities to the system in terms of people not having being educated to their fullest potential, so they're not able to contribute to a 21st century economy. We've had the same issues for the last 100 years. And right now, at this moment, we need an extraordinary candidate again to meet the moment.
The better known candidates largely agree with each other on most major issues. Do you want to separate yourself from the field based on any position you hold on an issue? Or is your pitch solely that you would be the most effective at solving the problems you just laid out?
Yeah, I say I'm a directly impacted leader with a background in terms of being a PhD researcher, but also, again, someone that was 17, pregnant and homeless, that did not necessarily have to fall victim to a system that wasn't designed to support a brilliant student. Every single year, I scored within the top 90 percentile, and I grew up in a public housing project. So the fact that there was nothing in place for such a dynamic student is just speaks to, again, this sort of disconnect between the government and the people. And we need someone, again, that understands that. I created a policy for every unique barrier I've ever had to overcome. We're talking about going from Brownsville to Brooklyn Heights in less than 20 years. A 17-year-old that is a senior in college headed to medical school. I understand what we need to do to turn the tide so our kids are not in the criminal justice system, but they're able to, again, contribute to a global economy, a 21st century economy.
You're not well known compared to the top tier of candidates, and you ran for mayor, I see, on an obscure party line, the Empowerment Party. If you ran not as a Democrat, why should you now get the Democratic nomination?
So, again, there is this disconnect. I mean, I was raised in a Democratic household that voted during the general election, sort of set out during the primary. And with my research, I collected a lot of research over the last 18 months. And what I have noticed is that folks are not engaged. So in order to sort of, again, meet this moment, I have to do two things, right? I have to get our voters engaged and understand why if you sit out an election, why it matters, right? You're sort of committing policy violence against yourself. And again, the only way to do that is sort of from a nonpartisan standpoint, and to come as a representative of the people that understands, again, this is a moment where the people are most impacted, marginalized communities. Folks from marginalized communities are most impacted by this policy violence. And I call it policy violence again because it's the same. We have the same politicians regurgitating the same talking points. And when they get to Congress, they do absolutely nothing other than meet the needs of their donors. And so I am very well known in the community. My signs are everywhere. I'm not well known to donors, but I'm well known to the individuals where we're in place to sort of increase the sleeping giant. We increase voter turnout in City Council District 41 and 36. And it just two election cycles ago before I entered the mayor's race, there were 6,000 or 7,000 people voting in that election. I withdrew just to figure out whether or not those people would still come to the poll, and they did. And guess what? They voted for the city council members that they knew by name recognition, but I got them to the polls because they were expecting me to be on the ballot in the Democratic primary.
Candidate Quanda Francis, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's our 10th Congressional District Democratic Primary Candidate Fest. 11 candidates, 5 minutes each, in a randomly drawn order in this Lower Manhattan and Northwest Brooklyn race. Up next, Yan Sheng. Yan Sheng is a reverend and Asian American activist who drew attention to his campaign by criticizing ex-Mayor de Blasio. In 1989, he was among the college students who participated in the pro-democracy demonstrations in Tiananmen Square. He later fled to the U.S. as a dissident from China and joined the U.S. Army as a chaplain. Yan Sheng, welcome to WNYC.
Yes,
thank you for joining us.
Thank you, sir.
Each candidate, as I've been saying, gets the same first question. In about 30 seconds, what do you think the people of Lower Manhattan and Northwest Brooklyn want from their member of Congress? This job is not mayor of New York or local city council member. What do you see these New Yorkers as needing from Congress that you can best provide?
Thank you so much, sir. In the past 6 months, every day I walk in the street of Manhattan, Brooklyn, I meet a lot of people. People say, Chaplain Yan Sheng, we know you're a soldier. Defend our country. Now defend our city. We need a safety. We need prosperity. We need a good job. We need a good education for our children. Chaplain, soldier, help us continue work for us. I get excited. In the past week, I got a lot of ballots. I say, yes, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I want to continue serving you. I get excited. I think I can win the election. Thank you.
I see that you were one of the brave students who protested China's authoritarianism at Tiananmen Square, and you joined the U.S. military in this country. Is U.S. policy toward China or foreign policy generally a key interest of yours?
I want to tell you the truth. As a Tiananmen Square student leader, you know, I came here as a political refugee with an American dream. This is my country. I have 80 children here. I was born here. And, you know, American value is my value. Everybody know, maybe a lot of people know, the communist China invaded New York City or many big major cities a lot. We got to pay attention. The FBI should pay attention to that.
Have you been involved in local civic affairs that would make you most qualified to represent the people of the district?
Absolutely, sir. 20 years ago, I was a pastor in New York City. After the 9/11, when our nation needed frontline chaplain, I joined the active duty the second time. deployed to Iraqi battlefield. When I come back after 19 years as an active duty chaplain back to my hometown, New York City. Oh my God, New York City is getting worse. The traffic is worse. The economy is worse. The people nervous. People lost their job. They fled to New York City. Oh my God, what happened? We need help the people in New York City. That is one of the motives I was running for Congress.
And last question.
District.
In a field of the major candidates who largely agree with each other on most issues, do you want to separate yourself from the field based on any position you hold on an issue, or is your pitch solely that you would be the most effective?
Yes, sir. That's the bigger question. You know, I am a centrist, common sense, different Democratic candidate. People of USA, American people, need a common sense candidate.
Centrist meaning what, for example?
Common sense. Yes. For example, there's a lot of issue here. Gun control, common sense mature, and other. Traffic in New York City, traffic is horrible. We cannot tolerate more. We need more infrastructure for our city. Common sense. We deserve a better life. We're going to pay attention to the communists and what they do there. What do they do in New York, in the USA? It's common sense.
Candidate Yan Sheng, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, sir. Thank you all. Thank you. Vote for me. Citizen, vote for me, Yan Sheng. I will fight it for you, for your future.
Thanks again. It's our 10th Congressional District Democratic Primary Candidate Fest. 11 candidates, 5 minutes each, in a randomly drawn order in this Lower Manhattan and Northwest Brooklyn race. Up next, Brian Robinson, the founder of a company that helps businesses with debt relief. He calls himself a writer and founder of a consumer advocacy company, a self-described moderate. He is campaigning on improving public safety, helping small business, and bringing civility back into politics, according to the thumbnail of him on Gothamist. Brian Robinson, thanks for coming on WNYC today. Good morning.
Hey, Brian. It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Each candidate gets the same first question. In about 30 seconds, sure. What do you think the people of Lower Manhattan and Northwest Brooklyn want from their member of Congress, remembering that this job is not mayor or local city council member? What do you see these New Yorkers as needing from Congress that you can best deliver?
That's a great question. So right now, the federal government is a very divisive place. And, you know, I like all the other candidates personally. I've met each and every one of them. But I don't see any of them as a unifier. I am a unifier, and I think civility is the key for this country to move forward in a way where more hate and violence are not the regular. You know, I know there's a lot we disagree with the Republicans, especially the further right you go. And we will never reach common ground on everything. But we need to sit down and have a good faith conversation with those we disagree with. And if we can just assume that if the other side is not evil and we just try, I think we could be surprised with what type of common ground we might be able to yield. And you know what? Maybe that sit down doesn't yield anything, but it's the spirit of it and a dedication to that spirit that can really make a difference.
I would imagine that most of your opponents would say this is what Democrats have been trying to do for many years, at least since Barack Obama and Bill Clinton, and each time they meet Republican rejectionism. So why would this approach work more under you?
Well, even Barack Obama, I mean, that's a decade ago now. And Bill Clinton in the 90s, I mean, he did a decent job of that. Of course, there will always be gridlock. There will always be grandstanding. I'm not a fan of that. But right now, the polarizations are so deep and so strong, and the media continues to fuel the polarization by giving those who are the most sensationalist the most media time, that the negativity just trickles down to the psyche of the American people, and it's a very negative place right now. So while I agree with you, it will always, to an extent, be Democrats versus Republicans, you know, there's a whole problem solvers caucus in the Democratic Party, and they do work with Republicans, but these days they're marginalized because they actually try to get things done. And we've forgotten that the nature of government is compromise. We're never going to get everything we want. And these days it's all about, it's all or nothing. And it ends up being nothing, unfortunately. And that's why we don't see a lot getting done in Congress. And that's why Congress's 18% approval rating fluctuates, but it's bad.
You're not well known compared to the top tier of candidates. How have you been involved in local civic affairs that would make you most qualified to represent the people of the district?
I would say within my neighborhoods, I'm quite well known. I've written a lot of op-eds, including in the Westview News, the New York Post, and Politics NY. I was interviewed on NY1. I was not invited to the debate because the poll they used was a progressive think tank whose motto is furthering the progressive agenda. That's fine. That's all right. But it's in terms of community involvement and what I've done. I've been a volunteer for Bogardus Plaza in Tribeca for a long time. I'm now on the board. I keep the clock wound. It's a mechanical. A lot of people don't know that. I also am a mental health advocate. You mentioned I'm a writer. I authored a book about ADHD. I have it, and I think it's important to raise the self-esteem of those who also have it because there's a lot of gifts inherent in being wired differently. So this is where I come from. I've always been an advocate. I wrote half of that book when I was 22. I've always had global consciousness and dedication to helping others. And, you know, that spirit has not changed for me.
Candidate Brian Robinson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. And public safety is my emphasis, by the way.
It's our 10th Congressional District Democratic Primary Candidate Fest. 11 candidates, 5 minutes each, in a randomly drawn order in this Lower Manhattan and Northwest Brooklyn race. Mondaire Jones up next after this short break.
Tired of circling around the block to find parking? Is being stuck in traffic getting old? If you're thinking about saying goodbye to your car, consider donating it to WNYC. You'll get a tax deduction and help keep WNYC free for the entire community. And we'll even come and tow your car away for free. Find out more about donating your car at wnyc.org/car.
WNYC supporters include Mount Sinai, finding ways to make brain surgery safer, like using augmented reality, which blends digital and live imagery to map the brain more accurately. Mount Sinai, we find a way. More at mountsinai.org/neurosurgerycare. The New York Phil, reopening its doors this fall to the new David Geffen Hall, featuring soloists like Yo-Yo Ma and Joshua Bell, world premieres and beloved masterworks. Tickets at nyphil.org. Leadership support for WNYC's local and global news coverage is provided by the Jerome L. Green Foundation, partnering with organizations to promote justice and equality for all New Yorkers.
Coming up on tomorrow's Brian Lehrer Show, we're going to have the head of the MTA, Jenna Lieber, to answer your questions on congestion pricing primarily, since the agency released new details on that plan last week. Plus, the executive director of New York State's Office of Cannabis Management explains how to qualify for a dispensary license, especially for people who've been impacted by cannabis arrests in the past. So Jenna Lieber, head of the MTA, and the head of New York's Office of Cannabis Management on tomorrow's Brian Lehrer Show.
If you believe democracy requires a free press, your station is WNYC, 93.9 FM and AM 820, NPR News and the New York Conversation.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. It's our 10th Congressional District Democratic Primary Candidate Fest this hour. 11 candidates, 5 minutes each. Amazingly, we're right on time so far. They are coming on in a randomly drawn order in this Lower Manhattan and Northwest Brooklyn race. Up next, Mondaire Jones. Currently, he serves as the U.S. Representative for the 17th Congressional District that covers parts of Westchester and all of Rockland. A lawyer who worked in the Obama administration, he was first elected in 2020 to Congress and became one of the first openly gay black members of Congress, along with Richie Torres in that election. He entered the race for the 10th Congressional District after redistricting led Representative Sean Patrick Maloney, who spearheads fundraising for fellow House Democrats, to announce a run in Jones' district. Thanks for coming on WNYC today. Good morning, Mondaire Jones.
Good morning, Brian. It's good to be with you.
And each candidate gets the same first question, as I've been saying. And in about 30 seconds, what do you think the people of Lower Manhattan and Northwest Brooklyn want from their member of Congress, remembering that this job is not mayor of New York or local city council member? What do you see these New Yorkers as needing from Congress that you can best deliver?
Voters in New York's 10th Congressional District want a progressive champion with a track record of delivering results. Someone who is prepared to do battle with Republicans while pushing Democrats to fight harder for the things we say we believe in as a party. Brian, I've got that record. I've helped deliver already billions for New York City schools, housing, healthcare, and infrastructure, and have been leading the fight, as you know from my prior appearances on your show, to defend our democracy and to protect the fundamental right to vote.
In a field of candidates who largely agree with each other on the issues, do you want to separate yourself from the field based on any position you hold on an issue, or is your pitch solely that you would be the most effective?
It's both of those things, and I do think a track record of being effective should really matter here, where we face overlapping crises and need someone who doesn't have to make promises because he's already got a track record of either fulfilling those promises or making progress on them. Look, Mr. Goldman and I disagree on a number of things. He opposes Medicare for All. He opposes the Green New Deal. He opposes my legislation to add 4 seats to the Supreme Court so that we can protect abortion, marriage equality, and other fundamental rights. And of course, he supports abortion restrictions and has tried to walk those comments back, but they're very clearly on the record in an interview he gave. So those are material differences between myself and another candidate who's spending a lot of money in this race. And there are differences between myself and certain other candidates on any number of issues. This is one of the most progressive districts in America.
You just criticized Dan Goldman, and in the last day I saw that you and candidate Yulee Niu made a rare joint appearance, rare for two competitors, to criticize Goldman after Goldman got the New York Times endorsement and a new poll showed him in first place. How should the voters decide if you or Ms. Niu should be the alternative to Goldman if they're looking for one?
Look, I think you can look at the positions that I just spelled out, which put him at odds with the mainstream of the Democratic Party. In addition to the work that I have been doing in Congress, I was named the most legislatively active freshman member of Congress. I'm the youngest member of House Democratic leadership, making me the rare progressive voice at the leadership table. And I've got a track record, as the New York Times also described, of bridging the divide that exists between progressives and our conservative Democratic colleagues, as well as delivering billions of dollars in federal aid for New York State and for New York City in key areas that have improved the lives of people. We just voted, and myself included, on the largest climate bill, which will become law this week when the president signs it, in the history of this nation. And it's also going to allow Medicare to lower the cost of prescription drugs. No one else can say that they've done that.
And last question, an issue for you is that you moved into this district specifically to run in this race from the area you currently represent in Westchester and Rockland. Why should people choose you over candidates who have real lived experience in Manhattan and Brooklyn?
I have lived in Manhattan. I have worked in the district. I now live in the district. And most importantly, have been an effective champion for the communities that comprise this beautifully diverse district. Whether it is leading the fight to end gun violence, which has gotten me attacked by Tucker Carlson on his show, which I view as a badge of honor, or delivering the kind of federal aid that I described to you earlier. And of course, leading the fight to defend our democracy and to protect the right to vote as it faces its greatest test since Jim Crow. Not even my opponents have said I've been anything less than an excellent member of Congress. And so the question that a lot of people who are leaning towards me or who are already committed to vote for me are saying is, why would we not send a thoroughly excellent member of Congress back to the House of Representatives? Because the things that make him excellent have nothing to do with where he lives. It has everything to do with the work that he's been doing and how effective he's been in the time he's been in Congress.
Mondaire Jones, thanks so much for coming on today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Ryan.
It's our 10th Congressional District Democratic Primary Candidate Fest. 11 candidates, 5 minutes each, in a randomly drawn order in this Lower Manhattan and Northwest Brooklyn race. Up next, Yulee Niu, State Assembly member representing swaths of Lower Manhattan that include the Lower East Side, Chinatown, Battery Park City, and the Financial District, elected in 2016 following the resignation of disgraced Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver. She is known for being part of the progressive wing of the state legislature and for focusing on issues involving women and immigrant communities, that from the thumbnail of her on Gothamist. Thanks for coming on WNYC today. Good morning, Assemblymember New.
Hi, Brian.
So each candidate is getting the same first question, as maybe you know by now. In about 30 seconds, what do you think the people of Lower Manhattan and Northwest Brooklyn want from their member of Congress? This job is not mayor of New York or local city council member or member of the state legislature. What do you see these New Yorkers as needing from Congress that you can best provide?
I think that, you know, the district of New York 10 is wanting a Congress member who reflects their values and understands their needs. And these are my neighbors. These are my friends. And I am a constituent of New York 10. And I think that, you know, what we want is to see political courage. And, you know, right now in this time of crisis, it's so necessary for us to have somebody who knows what we need, and who knows what we're going through and can relate to us. And I think that that's what we want in Congress right now.
In a field of candidates who largely agree with each other on the issues, do you want to separate yourself from the field based on any position you hold on an issue? Or is your pitch solely that you know your neighbors the best and you would be most effective?
Well, I think that it's all of those things. I think that I've led with listening and empathy, and I've led with political courage in a way that most legislators, I think that you and I have talked a lot about the things that actually I've accomplished, including, you know, standing up when things were tough, you know, standing up against Cuomo, standing up against the IDC, standing up against corruption in Albany, standing against, you know, sexual harassment in the workplace, and fighting to deliver for my constituents on public housing dollars and fighting to increase funding for our community organizations. And, you know, I think that it's not easy to stand up to Albany's culture. And I think that it's not easy to also stand up, you know, in Congress against the things that we need right now to protect our bodily autonomy and our rights. But I think that I have proven that I am never afraid and I don't blink and I don't back down.
In the last day, you and candidate Mondaire Jones, who was just on, and I asked him a similar question, you and Mondaire Jones made a rare joint appearance for two competitors to criticize Dan Goldman after Goldman got the New York Times endorsement and a new poll showed him in first place. My question for you is, how should the voters decide if you or Mr. Jones should be the alternative to Goldman if they're looking for one?
Well, one clarification. I mean, I didn't think that we were there to talk about just the New York Times endorsement. We were there because, the day 45 minutes I think before the New York Times endorsement even dropped or whatever, he gave himself another $1 million to his campaign at that point. And so I think that, you know, it's really about making sure that people know that our district cannot be bought. These are folks who are, you know, wanting to make sure that we have, you know, the rights that we deserve, the issues that we care about at the front of the race. And I think that it's really about making sure that we are making sure that we're listening to our community members. And I'm going to trust the voters of New York 10. I'm going to trust our constituents. I'm going to trust my team and the ground game that we've really launched. It's amazing how much we've done and how big our campaign is and how enthusiastic everyone is and excited about our race.
Right. But I'll ask you the same follow-up question that I had to ask Mr. Jones. You're distinguishing yourself from Dan Goldman. If people are looking for an alternative, why you and not Mondaire Jones?
I think that I have a, you know, long track record of fighting for our community and fighting for the issues that my community cares about, you know, whether it's coming to making sure that we have over $1 billion in critical funding for our public housing, fighting to make sure that, you know, we have $30 million in dedicated funding for community organizations, or fighting against the abuse and, you know, corruption that, you know, that plagues our current government system, right? And I think that, you know, we have somebody who has a proven track record and also knows our constituent issues. And I think that this is an opportunity for us to be able to make sure that we have somebody who leads with empathy and listens to what our community needs.
Candidate Eileen New, thank you so much.
Thanks.
It's our 10th Congressional District Democratic Primary Candidate Fest. 11 candidates, 5 minutes each, in a randomly drawn order in this Lower Manhattan and Northwest Brooklyn race. Up next, Peter Gleason, a lawyer who previously ran for Manhattan District Attorney as a write-in candidate. His prior work experience includes serving as a New York City firefighter and police officer, according to his profile on Gothamist. Thanks for coming on WNYC today. Peter Gleason, good morning.
Good morning, Brian. Thanks.
Each candidate getting the same first question.
My phone is working properly.
There, you're.
I'm sorry, Brian.
Yeah, you're dropping in and out a little bit, but we'll give it a shot. In about 30 seconds, what do you think the people of Lower Manhattan and Northwest Brooklyn want from their member of Congress? This job is not mayor of New York or local city council member or DA. What do you see these New Yorkers as needing from Congress that you can best provide?
Well, I think public safety is first and foremost. Then there's integrity in government. Right now, I think most people, and this is why we have such a low voter turnout, most people have turned away from the political process, and it's unfortunate. I'm endorsed by, the only endorsement that I sought and accepted was that of Frank Serpico, the quintessential whistleblower, who, if the city of New York had listened to Frank in the early 1970s, the landscape would be much different regarding public safety and police work. So I think the people want safety. They want to be able to go to and from work without encountering a mental health crisis in the streets. And part of the motivation for me running was the fact that Bill de Blasio was in the race initially, and you know his mental health agenda, Thrive New York, was the biggest slush fund akin to a Bernie Madoff ripoff.
For people who may be thinking, well, whatever their position on the issues you just raised, that's more for a mayor or a police commissioner or local DA. How does it pertain to what you would do or try to accomplish in Congress?
Federal funding. New York City is, particularly this district, is the most important district in the entire United States. If you look at the amount of money that's generated from this district that goes to Washington and the paltry amount that comes back, this is important. If New York City goes by the wayside, so does our nation. And it's very, very important. So public safety has everything to do with this race. We need to ensure that people from throughout the world can come to New York City, particularly this district in Lower Manhattan, and conduct business as they've been doing for the last 200 plus years.
You're not well known compared to the top tier of candidates. Why do you think you're more qualified to be effective in Congress than the candidates with more elected office experience?
Well, what I'd like to do to Congress is what Frank Serpico did to the NYPD. Let's just open the zipper and put the curtains to both sides, and let's expose what's going on in Washington for what it is. There's partisanship, there's infighting, there's backroom deals. This needs to stop. And I wanted to also mention about public safety. Another motivating factor for me running in this race was the de Blasio administration of the cover-up of the death of Michael Davidson, a firefighter who died on a movie set. What does that have to do with this race? It has everything to do with this race because the federal government offered to take the boiler from that building to their lab, and it was refused by the de Blasio administration. So to that point, local government needs to work closely with the federal government. There needs to be a better working relationship between the two. And we don't have that right now. And I would ask every other candidate to support a federal inquiry into the death of Michael Davidson. Every other candidate in the 10th district, I would like them to sign on to that.
Candidate Peter Gleason, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Brian.
It's our 10th Congressional District Democratic Primary Candidate Fest. 11 candidates, 5 minutes each in a randomly drawn order in this Lower Manhattan and Northwest Brooklyn race. Up next, Maud Maron, an attorney who works as a public defender, a former president of a community education council. She co-founded Place NYC, a group that advocates for merit-based admissions in the city school system, according to her profile on Gothamist. Maud Maron, thanks for coming on WNYC today. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And each candidate continues to get the same first question in about 30 seconds. What do you think the people of Lower Manhattan and Northwest Brooklyn want from their member of Congress? This job is not mayor of New York or schools chancellor or a city council member. What do you see these New Yorkers as needing from Congress that you can best provide?
Well, I will say, Ryan, that I think I'm the only candidate in this race who is speaking to what people want. And what people want is safety on their streets. That can be accomplished both through issues that we can address federally, but also by supporting our state legislators who are working to reform bail reform. I'm the only candidate in this race who has consistently opposed the message and the policy of defunding police. I'm the only candidate in this race who has supported school choice. We have over 50,000 families on wait lists to get into charter schools, many of them minority families, and I think they should all have the right to choose the education that's right for their kids the way Dan Goldman chooses private schools because he thinks it's right for his kids. I am the only candidate who is opposed to vaccine mandates for students to attend schools or for workers to do their jobs. In Congress, I would absolutely support legislation to restore the jobs and to compensate workers, particularly essential workers who are on the front lines for us in the beginning of the pandemic, and who were fired for exercising their right to not take a vaccine. I'm also the only public school parent with a successful track record of, as you mentioned, fighting against anti-merit efforts in our school. None of the candidates in this race stood with me and other parents to fight to open our schools or to get kids back in class full time. And none of them will stand up for female athletes in this country to play in female sports. So I'm the common sense alternative to extreme ideology that we're hearing from a lot of the other candidates.
On what you just described as merit-based admissions in public schools, others see that status quo as perpetuating racial disadvantage based on qualifications that aren't really merit, certainly not solely merit, but privilege of the child's circumstances. How would you defend against that or argue to close the disparities in education by race while maintaining the status quo admission system?
It is absolutely a red herring argument, and it's just not true. Some of the students who have accessed merit-based education most successfully in this city are the poorest kids, not the privileged kids of this city. The Asian American community, which happens to be the racial group in the city with the highest poverty rates, have done an extraordinarily good job of helping their children focus on academics, focus on school, and accessing education. The modeling done by the Department of Education to try to get rid of the SHSAT and to institute the lottery program we have right now was done to decrease Asian American participation in some of our top schools. That's not trying to fight the status quo. That's really targeting a community in a way that I think is shameful.
Do you think that the historical and current stories of, let's say, the Black community and the Asian American immigrant community make them equivalent?
I don't think this is a competition of who's been harmed the most, but I think if you look honestly at the education system and you look around and you see some of our Black leaders right now, like Jumaane Williams, with whom I don't agree about much, but Jumaane Williams attended a gifted and talented program in the Brooklyn neighborhood he grew up in and went on to a specialized high school. That gifted and talented program no longer exists in central Brooklyn because it was removed. The very best way to support African-American students and all students in our city is to make sure that we have robust opportunities for our students who can take advantage of them. Tearing down systems is easy. Building them up and making them better and stronger is where it takes political courage, and I've shown that in spades.
And last question, that is primarily a local issue, unless you disagree. How would you have Congress influence it?
We need to do a lot of things in Congress that will impact our students in school. Title IX is a good example. A lot of people understand it as a gender issue, which it is, but it also impacts young people accused of crime. If you go off to college and you're a young man who's accused of crime, you need the due process protections that come from Title IX, and we should not get rid of them. I know that well from years of standing up to young people accused of crime in the criminal courts. I worked as a public defender for years. And as the probably only other candidate here other than maybe Yang Sheng, who is unabashedly pro-American, one of the incredibly important things we do as a country is protect our free speech rights and our due process rights. And in Congress, I would absolutely protect Title IX and all due process rights that we need.
Candidate Maud Maron, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
It's our 10th Congressional District Democratic Primary Candidate Fest. 11 candidates, 5 minutes each. Three left to go after a short break. Joanne Simon, Elizabeth Holtzman, and Carlina Rivera. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. It's our 10th Congressional District Democratic Primary Candidate Fest. 11 candidates, 5 minutes each, three to go in a randomly drawn order in this Lower Manhattan and Northwest Brooklyn race. Up next, Joanne Simon, State Assembly member representing parts of Northwest Brooklyn, including Brooklyn Heights, Park Slope, Borum Hill, and Dumbo. She was elected in 2014, having previously worked as a disability rights lawyer. She has campaigned as the only candidate who has represented the Brooklyn portion of the district. Joanne Simon, thanks for coming on WNYC today. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Each candidate gets the same first question. In about 30 seconds, what do you think the people of Lower Manhattan and Northwest Brooklyn want from their member of Congress? This job is not mayor of New York. It's not member of the assembly. What do you see these New Yorkers as needing from Congress that you can best provide?
Well, I think people want somebody who knows the issues and the communities, and they want someone who will walk the walk. You know, everyone's talking about abortion. I've walked that walk as an abortion counselor, holding the hands of 1,000 women through their procedures. Everyone's talking about guns. I've written the strongest gun red flag law in the country. And everyone's talking about climate. And I have a 25-year history of working in climate justice. So people know that I will be accessible and that I will be honest with them and transparent. And that's what people really want, someone who will show up and do the hard work of actually representing their interests and not special interests.
In a field of major candidates who largely agree with each other on things, do you want to separate yourself from the field based on any position you hold on an issue, or is your pitch solely that you would be the most effective?
Well, listen, I think that I am different on some issues, including the fact that I've actually been doing this work for a very long time, and I just pointed out the fact that I had been an abortion counselor. For me, it's not just about policy. It's about really being a reproductive rights champion. I've also codified Roe versus Wade, and I've been there in the gun violence space, and boy, in Congress, do we need more fighters for that. I've also passed, you know, climate bills and, you know, and been a leader on that and presented nationally on those issues. But I'm a former teacher. I'm a disability civil rights lawyer, and I've been a very accessible and effective and progressive legislator, including a time when our Senate has been under Republican control. So I think what people really want is somebody who's going to get things done, who's going to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. That is what I'm known for, and that is what people see in me. And that's why every day people come up to me on the street and thank me for helping them save their house, for helping them get their unemployment benefits, for helping them get their Social Security benefits, for helping them get their children's education straightened out.
Yeah.
That's what this job is about, and it is at the federal level as well, where, you know, I've worked on federal legislation and been very active in that space as well.
You're the only current elected official in this race who represents Brooklyn parts of the district. Do you think that should matter to voters on either side of the river?
Well, I think it should matter to people because it's number one, the biggest portion of the district. And the reality is I have worked as a community leader in every neighborhood in the Brooklyn portion of the district. But what I think really people see about me and what is translating in Manhattan very well is the fact that I'm about community-based politics. You know, I take my marching orders from the people I represent, not from the real estate industry, not from Trump donors, not from, you know, the Twitter sphere, right? I work for the people in my district. They recognize it. People throughout Brooklyn were coming to me for help pandemic on unemployment, because we were providing the best constituent service and we helped people who weren't even our constituents. People need to know that, and people do know that in this area. And I think that that inures to the benefit of the folks in Manhattan who have become extremely supportive of my campaign, because they know that I will be there for them and I will be listening to them and working with them, with all of them.
Last question. Anything in your lived experience outside of politics that you think is relevant to people choosing you?
Sure. I mean, I think people do care that I've been a teacher. They do care that I'm a civil rights lawyer. You know, I'm not a prosecutor. There are very few. Most of the lawyers in Congress are prosecutors. I'm a civil rights lawyer. That really matters. And the fact is that because I have been a neighbor for so many years, I have worked to better the communities all throughout this district, long before I ever even thought about running for office. People know that. And that is, I think, for many, many voters, really critically important, because they know that I have lived that experience. You know, my braces were put on by the city of Yonkers when I was a kid. I did not come from money. And people know that. I'm a real person, very genuine, very authentic.
Candidate Joanne Simon, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's our 10th Congressional District Democratic Primary Candidate Fest. 11 candidates, 5 minutes each, two to go in a randomly drawn order in this Lower Manhattan and Northwest Brooklyn race. Up next, Elizabeth Holtzman, who was elected to Congress in 1972, becoming the youngest woman ever at the time to serve in that position. As a freshman representative, she rose to prominence for her role in the impeachment hearings against former President Richard Nixon. Following a failed U.S. Senate bid, she won election as Brooklyn District Attorney, becoming the first woman prosecutor in New York City. She later became New York City Comptroller, the only woman to ever hold that office. That from her thumbnail profile on Gothamist. And Elizabeth Holtzman, thanks for coming on WNYC today. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian, and good morning to your listeners.
And each candidate is getting the same first question. In about 30 seconds, what do you think the people of Lower Manhattan and Northwest Brooklyn want from their member of Congress today? This job is obviously not Brooklyn DA, not comptroller, not mayor of New York. What do you see these New Yorkers as needing from Congress that you can best deliver?
Well, I was in Congress, so I know what people want from Congress. I served in Congress for 8 years, and I was chair of a subcommittee. What people want is someone who's got a proven record of fighting for them. And right now, we are facing a crisis in this country, a dangerous crisis. We have a Supreme Court that's taken away women's rights to control their body and is targeting other rights. This is the first time in our history that we've had a court take away rights. We've got a president trying to come back through fraud and deceit and possibly violence. We've got MAGA Republicans. People in Brooklyn and Manhattan want someone who will stand up and fight these dangers and has a record of doing that and knows what to do. This is not on-the-job training time. Beyond that, they want someone who can also deal with the problems of affordable housing, which I've dealt with both as controller and in Congress. They want someone who can deal with violence on the streets. I was Brooklyn District Attorney. They want someone who's got a record of knowing what to do. I introduced the very first bill in New York State and possibly one of the first in the country, holding gun manufacturers liable for the damage they cause. So I've got a long, long record. And also with regard to abortion rights, I fought on that even before Roe versus Wade was decided. And I will never give up in terms of fighting for women's rights and human rights. That's my record, and people know it.
In a field of candidates, at least the major candidates, who largely agree with each other on all those issues, do you want to separate yourself from the field based on any particular position you hold on any issue, or is your pitch solely that you would be the most effective?
One, my pitch is I would be the most effective, because all you have to do is look at my record and the number of bills I got through and the actions I've taken, but also because of the practical positions I've taken. People want to deal with the Supreme Court, but they want to introduce legislation to effectuate that. Well, you know, legislation requires getting a bill through the Senate, not just the House of Representatives. And getting through the Senate, you've got to deal with the filibuster. Who knows whether we'll have the votes? I'm the only one who's calling for action right now. I want Congress to give up its recess, go back to Washington, and start investigations of two Supreme Court justices about whom serious questions have been raised, Clarence Thomas and Brett Kavanaugh, whose investigation for the position of Supreme Court justice was cut short. on guns, I'm the only one who's prepared to say I want something aside from legislation. Of course I want a law banning assault weapons. Of course I want laws closing various other loopholes. I've been fighting against the NRA for years. But what I also want to do is something that will be practical right now. The federal government right now could use its purchasing power. New York State and City could use their purchasing power. They purchase billions of dollars of weapons from gun manufacturers to put pressure on those gun manufacturers to get them to start regulating their behavior. For example, monitoring the number of guns that they're selling. Nobody else has supported or even talked about these ideas. Practical results.
Last question. People are asking, you've had a very distinguished career as an elected official, as well as in other ways, but in elected office, a significant House Judiciary Committee member during Watergate, Brooklyn DA in the 80s, New York City Comptroller in the 90s. But there's been a big gap in any attempt to run for office specifically. So why now, if not in the last several decades?
Now, because we have a crisis, as I said at the outset. You know, if we were in normal times, I'd be out kayaking someplace, not running for office now. But I'm running for office now because when Justice Alito came down with that draft decision, and I saw the target on women's bodies, and I saw the danger to women's rights and everyone's rights, because if you can take away the rights of women, half the population, you can take away everyone's rights. I said, I can't sit on the sidelines. I wasn't just a civil rights lawyer, which I was. I worked for the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. But I went down south during the civil rights movement to work for African-American civil rights lawyer when it was dangerous, when it was life-threatening. I am not someone who sits on the sidelines. I will not sit on the sidelines while this country goes on the way to fascism. I want to stand up and fight it. That's why I'm coming back, to stand up and fight for the people of this district and the country.
Candidate Elizabeth Holtzman, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Brian.
It's our 10th Congressional District Democratic Primary Candidate Fest. 11 candidates, 5 minutes each in a randomly drawn order in this Lower Manhattan and Northwest Brooklyn race. And up finally, Carlina Rivera, who has served in the New York City Council since 2018, representing portions of Lower Manhattan, including the East Village, Gramercy, Kipps Bay, and the Lower East Side. A former community board member, she has worked on issues related to affordable housing, women's health care and reproductive rights, and climate resiliency, all according to the thumbnail profile of her on Gothamist. Carlina Rivera, thanks for coming on WNYC today. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
And each candidate has been getting the same first question. You'll get it, too, in about 30 seconds. What do you think the people of Lower Manhattan and Northwest Brooklyn want from their member of Congress? This job is not member of City Council, not mayor of New York. What do you see these New Yorkers as needing from Congress that you can best deliver?
People want a fierce fighter with ties to the community and who understands the needs of our district. Families are worried about gun violence, reproductive freedom, and the rising cost of living here. And I understand the struggles of working and middle-class folks here in New York. I grew up as a product of federal programs like Section 8. Organize and coalition to bring federal resources for flood protection for our coastline. I led efforts to create the nation's first municipal abortion access fund. So I think the people of New York 10 want someone unapologetic, clear, direct, and decisive.
In a field of candidates, the major candidates at least, who largely agree with each other on most things, do you want to separate yourself from the field based on any position you hold on an issue, or is your pitch solely that you would be the most effective?
Well, I'd certainly be the most effective. I think you can see through my record and how collaborative I've been in passing legislation in a city as diverse in terms of democratic values. But I will tell you, I think what sets me apart also is that I have roots in both boroughs. I grew up in the Lower East Side. My mom's from Brooklyn, via Puerto Rico. And I have some of my most important memories and milestones in these places, going to the movies in Cobble Hill, playing basketball in Hamilton Fish. And so I know what the issues are that are facing our families. And we cannot afford a knowledge gap that is exhibited by many of the candidates. I think you can see with my position front and center on something like East River Park and the blind spot by candidates toward protecting both NYCHA tenants and the environment helped me build a coalition that would that does include the New York League of Conservation Voters. And so when you look at this coalition of people that are supporting my run for Congress now, 1199, the healthcare heroes that got us through COVID, majority Latino and Black and Brown nurses, they're with me. I'm the only one with New York delegation support, and Nydia Velasquez and Adriana Westpayat. And, you know, these endorsements from labor unions, NYCHA leaders, community groups, this support is something that money cannot buy. These are the real people of New York, the working men and women of the city. And I'm the one who has gotten them to really support me on the trail.
You brought up East River Park. Every time we do a segment on the Lower East Side or on trees or on environmental resiliency, we get a lot of phone calls and tweets from people on the Lower East Side who oppose the project you supported and said there would be a better way, less harmful to the community, to renovate East River Park and that the community wasn't listened to. Do you want to defend?
Yeah, I would say you really have to be on the ground to understand this issue. I'm an in-the-trenches legislator. The work that I did with NYCHA leaders, with arts and culture organizations, with environmental justice, advocacy groups, even our little leagues that utilize our baseball fields, we came together to ultimately make a decision that we could not experience another tragedy like Hurricane Sandy. And when we earned those federal dollars, in a national competition called Rebuild by Design, and then got the city to match $1 billion in funding, that's a project that we have to see through. And when you're looking at the Brooklyn waterfront and places like Red Hook, where they sustained extreme flooding like we did, we have to make sure that we are equitably investing and rebuilding and fortifying our coastline to protect us from future storm surge. This is the issue of our time, and we need someone who has experience in having tough negotiations and delivering a very clear message that we cannot wait.
Carlina Rivera, candidate, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
And listeners, that is our 10th Congressional District Candidate Fest. 11 candidates, 5 minutes each. Whew, exhale, I have to go out for a run. We hope it helped some of you in the district make up your minds if you are undecided. Credit again to the 10th District Voters Guide by Elizabeth Kim on Gothamist for the thumbnail bios of each. Go to gothamist.com for more coverage if you like, or we will tweet out the link to that article. Early voting in all the current primaries continues through Sunday, with primary day itself next Tuesday, August 23rd.